During an IRGC Navy drill in the Persian Gulf, Major General Salami warns any threat against Iranian islands will meet a crushing response. Israeli forces staged another raid on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus, injuring many Palestinians. Moscow says it could go back to the expired grain deal with Ukraine as soon as the West meets its obligations regarding Russia's part of the deal. Thanks for joining us. The Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, has launched military drills in the Persian Gulf with the aim of increasing readiness to defend Iranian islands. The maneuvers are also aimed at displaying the IRGC's naval power. Various units taking part in the drills that include combat, missile, drone, navy, and other units. The exercises kicked off early on Wednesday on the Iranian island of Blue Musa, with the country's military top brass in attendance. The chief commander of the IRGC addressed the drills. Major General Hossein Salami warned any threat against Iran will draw a decisive response from the armed forces.
Iranians are vigilant. Iran will respond to all threats, complex conspiracies, mysterious scenarios, and malicious plots. We will give them such a response that would make them regret their deeds.
The IRGC chief commander stressed that Iran is determined to defend its territorial integrity in every corner of the country. Salami also rejected any foreign presence in the region. He said regional countries themselves are able to maintain their security. The general noted the foreign policies adopted by the U.S. and Israel have brought the region insecurity, war, instability, and division. Israeli forces have conducted a new raid on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus, injuring dozens of Palestinians there. The regime forces used bullets and toxic gas at the Palestinians objecting the raid. Dozens of them suffocated after inhaling tear gas. The Palestinian Health Ministry says two men were seriously injured after being hit by live rounds. The raid comes a day after Israeli forces fatally shot two young Palestinians under the pretext that they were planning anti-regime operations. The resistance movement Hamas hailed the operation as a natural response to the regime crimes across the occupied territories. Israel has killed more than 200 Palestinians since the start of the year. Of course, Monica Condil joined us earlier to give us more details about the Israeli raid on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus.
Israeli forces raided areas in the Nablus district, Beit Furik, and the eastern part of Nablus in order to, let's say, prepare the roads for the Israeli settlers to raid the eastern part as part of their storming raid to Joseph's tomb, known by the Palestinians as Qabr Yosef. This area, where the Israelis considered a very holy site for them, from every several days, the settlers raid Nablus and storm the Joseph's tomb, surrounded and backed by dozens of Israeli forces who attack the Palestinians. Palestinians who go to this area in order to prevent the settlers' raid and in order to force the Israeli soldiers out of the area. The Palestinian presidency issued a statement saying that the international silence to the non-stop Israeli raids to the Palestinian areas would definitely encourage the Israeli authorities and the Israeli military to continue their aggression and their raids to the Palestinian areas.
President Vladimir Putin says that Moscow is ready to return to the Black Sea grain deal as soon as the West meets its obligations regarding Russia's grain and fertilizer exports. Putin made the announcement during a phone call with his Turkish counterpart, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. He stressed further extension of the deal would be meaningless given the lack of progress in the implementation of the Russian part of the deal. The Black Sea grain deal, brokered by Turkey and the UN in July of last year, aimed to relieve a global food crisis amid the Ukraine war. The UN was to help Russia with its exports in return for the safe export of Ukrainian grain during the war. Russia exited the deal last month as none of its demands have been met. Ukrainian authorities have declared an air raid alert across the country as Russia launches fresh drone strikes on the capital Kiev and the port city of Odessa. Kiev's mayor and military officials said that air defenses shot down a number of Russian drones over the capital. The fall of drone wreckage reportedly caused damage to multiple districts, including busy Solomyansky, which hosts an international airport. Earlier officials warned residents to stay in shelters. The southern Odessa region was also targeted that caused damage to its port and set some grain silos on fire. There were no reports of casualties in either incident. Russia and Ukraine have recently conducted several drone attacks on each other. On Tuesday, Russian air defenses shot down several drones over the Moscow region, with one hitting a tower that was struck for the second time this week. Johnny Miller in Moscow elaborates on the drone attacks taking place during the war between Russia and Ukraine.
Drones, this may well be the first war in which drones have played such a major part, and they're increasingly playing an even more major role for both sides. I think globally we're seeing a move towards use of drones in warfare, and so Ukraine is striking Moscow. Obviously, Russia takes this very seriously. They're particularly trying to strike Crimea as well. Crimea, the most important area for NATO anyway, to try and attack. Also, drone attacks on Russian shipping. And of course, Russia has a huge array of drones themselves, which they launch at Ukrainian cities. Also, Ukrainian tanks, artillery positions on the front line. So, very much both sides moving toward, as they have been, use of drones and using it in large scale attacks against each other.
The first military planes carrying European nationals evacuated from Niger have landed in France and in Italy. The aircraft carrying hundreds of nationals landed in Paris and Rome early on Wednesday. More Europeans will be evacuated from Niger in the coming days. Evacuations are taking place following a military coup in Niger last week. There are now fears of a wider conflict in West Africa's Sahel region. Italy says that it will help nationals from other countries leave Niger as well.
There are American citizens. There are also European passengers and non-European foreigners whom we managed to bring out of Niger and ensure their safety.
Anti-Western sentiments run high in Niger in the wake of the military coup there. At the weekend, protesters attacked the French embassy in the capital, Niamey. They demanded all Western forces, including those of France, to leave their country. Coup leaders have accused France of intervening in Niger's internal affairs. They have warned against any foreign military intervention to reinstate the president. Mali and Burkina Faso have also said that they would consider any regional intervention in Niger to be a declaration of war. Meanwhile, Niger has begun reopening borders with several of its neighbors. Enam Richardson, organizer with the All African People's Revolutionary Party, joined us earlier and walked us through the current situation unfolding in Niger.
This coup that just happened in Niger is reflective of a broader change that's sweeping across the region of the Sahel. So for a long time, the people of Niger have anticipated a potential coup, as has happened in neighboring states, Mali and Burkina Faso, hoping that a military government could bring in a leader that is willing to align with various sort of multipolar interests, not necessarily keep Niger so firmly within the NATO camp. Niger is the country with the largest U.S. military base in the region, one of the largest in Africa after Djibouti, which is located in Agadez. It's a U.S. Africa Command AFRICOM base. It also has a CIA base near the Niger-Libya border. And then ever since Mali exiled the French troops from its own lands, the French have doubled down their military operations focused on Niger. So this is a rising tension in a region where the majority of the people no longer see France as a partner and understand that the relationship between France and its former colonies is a relationship that is more into neocolonialism than partnership.
Tunisian President Kais Saied has appointed a new prime minister, the third in this position, in less than 3 years.
Good luck in this responsibility that you will bear during this particular situation. There are great challenges that we must tackle with solid determination and a strong will.
Ahmed Hachani, former director at Tunisia's Central Bank, has replaced Najla Boudin, who served 2 years in the post. The power transition comes amid a deepening economic and social crisis in the country. Tunisians have held numerous anti-government protests to vent their anger at political situation there, high unemployment and rising inflation included. In recent weeks, the president has repeatedly blamed officials for the crises, saying that they must act to address problems and poor public services, including frequent water and electricity cuts. Saied took control of almost all powers in July 2021. He then sacked the government, froze the country's parliament, in a move that his critics described as a coup. Legal trouble is piling up for the former U.S. President Donald Trump. The ex-Republican president faces criminal charges for a third time in 4 months. The charges pertain to Trump's efforts to overturn his 2020 election defeat to the incumbent President Joe Biden. The four-count indictment alleges that Trump conspired to defraud the U.S. by preventing Congress from certifying Biden's victory. The charges stem from the election probe led by Special Counsel Jack Smith. He has accused the former president of spreading lies about his election loss.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States, conspiring to disenfranchise voters, and conspiring and attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. The attack on our nation's capital on January 6, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election. We love you.
Trump has been ordered to make an initial appearance in federal court. His campaign called the indictment a political persecution reminiscent of Nazi Germany. Trump's supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol in January of 2021. They wanted to stop Congress from certifying Biden's victory. Trump now campaigns to regain the presidency next year. No other U.S. president, current or former, has ever faced criminal charges. China is still reeling from days of torrential rain that caused deadly floods and pummeled the country's northern parts, including the capital, Beijing. At least 11 people are confirmed dead and 13 missing after rainstorms brought by Typhoon Doksuri lashed Beijing over the past several days. Authorities have also evacuated over 100,000 people in Zhuzhou, a city in Hebei province. Thousands of emergency personnel have been dispatched to the affected areas, while police helicopters are dropping emergency supplies to residents who remain trapped. The torrential rain is said to be the heaviest since records began 140 years ago. President Xi Jinping has called for thorough search and rescue efforts. The finance ministry has also announced that it would allocate $15 million for the Beijing-Tianjin-Hebei region. An Iraqi woman who went viral on social media attempting to save a Quran from desecration in Denmark has been identified. Quds al-Samarai says that she suffered injuries during the confrontation with two far-right elements and was later arrested on theft charges. Rob Carter has traveled to Denmark to meet with al-Samarai and has filed this report.
The Arab woman who took on two far-right activists in a bid to save a Quran from desecration in Denmark has been identified. Iraqi Danish citizen Quds al-Samarai risked her own life while en route to visit a friend on Monday, the 24th of July. The footage of the incident, which occurred outside Iraq's embassy, went viral on social media. The video clearly shows Quds grabbing the Quran before being wrestled to the ground by the two men. In one instance, one of the desecrators can be seen with his hands reaching for her neck. Police later arrested Quds on accusations she was stealing the Quran from the activists. Quds explained how the incident left her with minor injuries, but no regrets.
Here the police dragged me, and the man was shouting that I stole his property. I think he was scared because he knew hitting me was wrong, so he had to justify it by saying I stole. As soon as the police heard the word stealing, they immediately put me in handcuffs and gave him back the Quran. The police asked me what happened. I said I saw our Quran being burned, and I just wanted to put it out. And then I saw another Quran with shoes on it, and I wanted to take the shoe off. But I didn't realize that the shoe was nailed on the Quran. I told the police they hit me and strangled me, but they replied with, it's their freedom of speech. So I replied, okay, so it's also my freedom of speech to protect the Quran. I thought the police to help me, but they turned out to twist the story by saying I was trying to steal.
Quds now faces a day in court, while her injuries have left her struggling to walk. Meanwhile, Muslims across the world remain in a state of anger as calls for serious action and retaliation to Europe's defense of far-right hate speech continues.
Despite Copenhagen officially condemning the incident which occurred just where we stand outside Iraq's embassy a few days ago, that doesn't mean that they've outlawed the practice. And according to reports, several other similar incidents have already occurred since, with far-right activists again targeting the diplomatic buildings of Muslim-majority nations here in the Danish capital. However, this has come at a price. Denmark's defense of the so-called free speech of far-right activists to attack Islam's holy sanctities has led to both Denmark and Sweden's reputation to plummet across the Muslim world. Questions should surely be asked now whether it is indeed within the diplomatic interests of European countries to defend such a fringe extremist practice when, of course, there is so much at stake with economic backlashes from the Muslim world. Robert Carter, Copenhagen.
And that is it for this edition of World News. Thanks for being with us. It's bye-bye for now.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى و دین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran. كتاب الله.
In the limelight.
Scientists have listened to the sounds of critically endangered humpback dolphins and pink river dolphins using artificial intelligence. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Scientific publication Nature wrote in this regard, researchers have used artificial intelligence to map the movements of two endangered species of dolphin in the Amazon River by training a neural network to recognize the animal's unique clicks and whistles. The findings, published in scientific reports on July 27th, could lead to better conservation strategies by helping researchers to build an accurate picture of the dolphins' movements across the vast area of rainforest that becomes submerged each year after the rainy season. Using sound is much less invasive than conventional tracking techniques, such as the use of GPS tags, boats, or aerial drones. Co-author Michelle André, a bioacoustician at the Technical University of Catalonia in Barcelona, Spain, said, "Sound is probably the only sense that we know of that we all share on Earth." André and his colleagues wanted to explore the activity of two species, the boto, also known as the pink river dolphin, and the toxi, across the floodplains of the Mareiro Reserve in northern Brazil. The researchers placed underwater microphones at several sites to eavesdrop on the animals' whereabouts. To distinguish the dolphin sounds from the noisy soundscape of the Amazon, they turn to artificial intelligence, feeding the recordings into a deep learning neural network capable of categorizing sounds in real time, exactly as scientists do with their own brain. Using this technology, researchers can analyze volumes of information that would otherwise be almost impossible, says Federico Mascara Gura, who studies Amazonian dolphins at the National University of Colombia in Bogota. The artificial intelligence was trained to identify three types of sound: dolphin, rainfall, and boat engines. Both dolphin species use echolocation clicks almost constantly to sense their environment, and they communicate to others by whistling. Detecting these clicks and whistles enabled the researchers to map the animal's movements. Botos and toxis have distinct whistles, so the neural network could distinguish between the species. The study is part of a collaboration between the Technical University of Catalonia and the Moreira Institute of Sustainable Development in Tefé, Brazil, which aims to use this technology for monitoring the Amazon's biodiversity and threats to it. Both dolphin species are endangered. Estimates suggest that the Boto population is declining by 50% every 10 years, and the toxi population every 9 years. Monitoring when and where the animals move will allow researchers to help protect their populations and come up with measures to help indigenous communities to cohabitate with the presence of dolphins, says Andre. Dolphins can disrupt fisheries across the floodplains, for example, by competing for fish or becoming tangled in nets. Mascara Guerra says that collecting such information is fundamental to inform decisions on conservation across the Amazon region. In future, the team wants to train the neural network to detect other aquatic species and to deploy the system over a wider area. The same approach could also be used in the ocean. Andre's previous work using this system has shown the effects of human-made noise pollution on sperm whales and has enabled the development of a warning system for ships to help avoid the animals. According to other reports, the artificial intelligence was trained to identify three types of sound: dolphin, rainfall, and boat engines. Both dolphin species use echolocation clicks almost constantly to sense their environment, and they communicate to others by whistling. Detecting these clicks and whistles enabled the researchers to map the animal's movements.
Your horse returns to Alcamp Riderless.
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجاي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام, زيارة العاشوراء. So stay with us.
بأبي أنت وأمي
لقد عظم مصابي بك فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثأرك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this part of Ziyaratul Ashura. بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي, may my father and mother be sacrificed for you. لَقَدْ عَظُمَ مُصَابِي بِكَ, indeed, my affliction due to what happened to you is immense. فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَ مَقَامَكَ وَأَكْرَمَنِي بِكَ, therefore I ask Allah who venerated your station, who honored me through you, أَنْ يَرْزُقَنِي طَلَبَ ثَارِكَ مَعَ إِمَامٍ مَنْصُورٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. Therefore, I ask Allah to provide me the succor to avenge for your blood with a supported leader from the family of Muhammad. May Allah pour down His mercy on him and his progeny. Regarding this part and this phrase, لَقَدْ عَظُمَ مُصَابِي بِكَ, we said that the true Zair has to try to understand the immensity of this affliction. And what helps us reach this station, what helps us express our state of intense affliction and sorrow truthfully, is the proper knowledge about the personality of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as well as what happened to him in the tragic event of Karbala. And this is how the Zair can understand the true love originating within himself. It is narrated that when Ayatollah Shaykh Abdul Karim Hari, the founder of Hawza of Qum, would sit in a gathering of lamentation for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he would not wait for the narration of the affliction that befell on the Imam. Simply hearing the name Hussein would bring about the flow of tears, such that he would sometimes be overcome by loss of strength. The late Ayatollah Shaykh Muhammad Ali Araki is reported to have said this about his mentor, Ayatollah Shaykh Abdul Karim Hari. He says, "Once I was at his service during the days of Ashura, I saw that that great personality would now and again recite this ode and weep. تبكيك عيني لا لأجل مثوبة لكنما عيني لأجلك باكية. My eye is weeping not in order to attain reward. Rather, my eyes weep for you." When one has understood who the Imam alayhi salam is and has realized how closely he is linked to him and learns about the real tragedy of Karbala, one is naturally overcome with perpetual sorrow and anguish.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. Subhanallah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So we said, dear listeners, that the true Zair, in order to express his great sorrow and affliction, has to realize Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as well as his personality, his aims, and his lifestyle. That is when naturally the man is overcome with perpetual sorrow, because he has understood Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And such sorrow is so praiseworthy that is equal to tasbih and glorification of the Almighty Allah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, نَفَسُ الْمَهْمُومِ لَنَا الْمُغْتَمُّ لِظُلْمِنَا تَسْبِيحِ. The breath of the one who is grief-stricken for us and is sorrowful due to oppression on us is tasbih. وَهَمُّهُ لِأَمْرِنَا عِبَادَةِ. And his anguish for our situation is worship. It is important, dear listeners, for us to understand the subtle difference between ham and gham. Nafasul mahmumi tasbih wa hamhu li amrina ibadah. The breath of the one who is grief-stricken for us and is sorrowful due to oppression on us is tasbih wa hamhu li amrina ibadah. And his anguish for our situation is worship. So there is a difference between ham and gham, both of which sometimes are rendered as grief. The difference is that ham is a state of sorrow and grief that comes about when one has already carried out the preliminaries of his intention, but is not able to do what he intended. So it is a state of sorrow for not being able to do something. One who yearns to assist Imam, but is unable to achieve this desire. This is called mahmum, or grief-stricken in the heart. In a tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, indeed Noah complained to Allah of the grief of gham, whereupon Allah revealed unto him, eat grapes, because it removes grief and gham. In his Furuq al-Lughawiyya, the author mentions different opinions on the difference between ham and gham. One of these differences is that ham is the state of grief that transpires before an incident, whereas gham is a state of grief that transpires after one incident. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أنت الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley has suggested that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell should step down after an episode where the senator physically froze and was unable to speak at the Capitol this week. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Britain's Guardian newspaper has covered this story and tells us more. Presidential hopeful Nikki Haley has suggested her fellow Republican Mitch McConnell, the longtime powerful US Senate leader, should step aside after an episode in which he physically froze and was unable to speak at the Capitol this week. Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation program on Sunday, Nikki Haley was asked by the host Margaret Brennan whether she still had confidence in Mitch McConnell's ability to lead after the episode. Nikki Haley said, "I think Mitch McConnell did an amazing job when it comes to our judiciary. When we look at the judges, when we look at the Supreme Court, he's been a great leader." The former South Carolina governor and former United Nations ambassador in Donald Trump's presidency, Nikki Haley added, "But we've got to stop electing people because they look good in a picture and they hold a baby well." She also said the 90-year-old U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, the 80-year-old President Joe Biden, and 83-year-old Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, all of whom are prominent Democrats, should know when to walk away. Nikki Haley has called for congressional term limits and mental acuity tests for politicians aged 75 and above. A spokesperson for Mitch McConnell, an 81-year-old, said last week that he intends to fulfill his term in office, which ends in 2026. Mitch McConnell has led the U.S. Senate's Republican conference since 2007. McConnell's office said the senator felt lightheaded, but has not released more details on what caused the episode in question. Mitch McConnell was hospitalized after he fell on stage earlier this year, leaving him with a concussion and a fractured rib. He also fell in Finland earlier this year while getting off an airplane at Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. Mitch McConnell survived polio as a child, though the illness has long affected his gait. Publicly, Senate Republicans have backed McConnell, yet anonymously, some have been more circumspect. One Republican senator told NBC News that McConnell has been relying more on his lieutenants and suggested he should step down. "I'd hate to see it forced on him," the senator said, according to NBC. "You can do these things with dignity, or it becomes less dignified, and I hope he does it in a dignified way for his own legacy and reputation." The American newspaper The Hill has also covered the same story and tells us more. Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley suggested the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell should step down amid the senior senator's health concerns. Mitch McConnell froze at a leadership press briefing for almost 20 seconds on last Wednesday, prompting concerns both at the briefing from his colleagues and members of the press corps and for the ensuing days. Later in the week, the senator said he was fine and that he would serve out his full term in office, but even as he tried to brush aside concerns from his colleagues, many are wondering whether he will step away from his leadership position. Nikki Haley, in an interview with CBS News' Margaret Brennan, said Mitch McConnell should know when to walk away, but took it a step further, renewing her calls for term limits. "What I'm saying about Mitch McConnell, Dianne Feinstein, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, all of them, know when to walk away. We have huge issues that need new solutions," Haley said. Nikki Haley praised Mitch McConnell's work on the Supreme Court and other judicial confirmations before calling for a new generation of leaders. "We've got to stop electing people because they look good in the picture or they hold a baby well. We've got to stop electing people because that we like them and they've been there for a long time. You need to have term limits because we need new ideas, we need new solutions." Haley added, "We've got to have a new generation." Nikki Haley, when asked if Donald Trump should also take a competency test, said everyone should take it, and the need for new leaders applies to the former president and current Republican frontrunner. Republicans have lost the last 7 out of 8 popular votes for president, Nikki Haley said. "That's nothing to be proud of. We should want to win the majority of Americans. We've got to start going with a new generation so that we can do that." The British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. Nikki Haley is once again pressing Washington's graying political establishment to step aside after a pair of concerning moments involving two of the Senate's oldest members grabbed headlines in recent days. The former South Carolina governor and former United Nations ambassador spoke to CBS's Margaret Brennan in an interview that aired on Sunday. She is currently campaigning in early primary states as she seeks the GOP nomination for president. A central tenet of her campaign's message since its onset has been a call for a new generation of leaders to take the helm in both political parties. As such, Margaret Brennan asked Nikki Haley about the moment that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell froze and appeared unable to speak at a press conference last Wednesday, after which he was led away by a colleague. It was later revealed that the Senate GOP leader had suffered an undisclosed fall earlier in July while still recovering from a concussion suffered last spring. I think Mitch McConnell did an amazing job when it comes to our judiciary. When we look at the judges, when we look at the Supreme Court, he's been a great leader. But I do think that this one, you know, we've got to stop electing people because they look good in the picture or they hold a baby well. Nikki Haley added, we've got to stop electing people because we like them and they've been there for a long time. That's actually the problem. We need to have term limits because we need new ideas and new solutions. We've got to have a new generation. Nikki Haley added, when pressed by Margaret Brennan on whether she had confidence in Mitch McConnell remaining leader of the Senate Republican caucus. What I'm saying about Mitch McConnell, Dianne Feinstein, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, all of them, know when to walk away. Know when to walk away. We have huge issues that need new solutions. We need new generational leaders. We appreciate your service. We appreciate what you have done. But this is why we will fight for term limits. We've got to get it done in America. Nikki Haley's remark naming Senator Feinstein was an apparent reference to another moment that drew the attention of reporters this past week when the senior senator from California appeared confused during a committee hearing and launched into a speech calling for a vote which was already in progress. And persistent concerns about Joe Biden's age have followed him doggedly throughout his first term in office. The 80-year-old Joe Biden was already the oldest U.S. president to be sworn into office in 2021 and is now facing some calls from progressives and others concerned about his criticisms focused on his mental acuity to step aside and allow a younger politician to be the Democratic Party's standard bearer. Nancy Pelosi's inclusion on the list is the only notable, given that she is the sole named party leader to have already given up her leadership position willingly earlier this year. The 83-year-old California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi handed over command of the Democratic caucus to Hakeem Jeffries at the beginning of the year, while Republicans struggled to anoint their own leader in a chaotic speakership election. Nikki Haley was less certain in an interview with CBS whether Donald Trump, 77 years old, would be included in her call for aging politicians to step aside. But she maintained that he should take a mental acuity test, as she argues all presidential contenders should. And she relented after pressing from Margaret Brennan that Donald Trump was, of course, not who she had in mind when she made her call for leaders with new ideas, age notwithstanding. I just said we need a new generational leader, she noted. I mean, that goes for all of them. You can look across Washington, D.C. Of course, I'm talking about Donald Trump. I've said that throughout this campaign that this is time for us to have a new generation.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies.
31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone.
Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.